Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello! Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please introduce him.
Well, he's a writer on UCB's Mod Night, excuse me, and he's also my roommate. It's DeMarcus Wooten.
Yay, it's me.
It's you.
Question, am I going to get an exclamation point on my podcast?
Oh, would you like one?
In the,
sure.
The title?
I'm just wondering, because I see some people get them, and
that's very interesting. John is the one that handles that punctuation.
Oh, okay.
So. Yes, I'm talking to you guys in secret code and through exclamation points in the podcast description. So look a little deeper.
I think you just lost there. Your exclamation point.
Oh, man.
Or gained two more. It's tough to know.
Wow.
This will affect my self-esteem, by the way.
Oh,
but
no.
Go ahead.
Okay, good. I mean...
DeMarcus, I feel like I know the answer to this, but are you generally a fan of 90s action movies?
Oh, God, yes, yes. I was raised on them. Mostly 80s, but 90s like really stepped it up. Independence Day, of course, Face Off, and Armageddon, all my favorites, all the hits.
Yeah, you love Armageddon. You like the Jerry Bruckheimer like school? Like the Bruckheimer the high octane.
When I see that little road and it ends with the tree and the lightning, that's it. I'm in.
It's a mark of quality.
Yeah, I can relax right
Bruckheimer,
now.
Bruckheimer, Simpson, cocaine. What happened to cocaine?
They don't make them like this anymore.
No, they don't.
Like CG has really ruined a lot of I feel like John Wick are the only reliable great action movies.
See, I don't think it's as much CG as much as not taking chances on original stuff. Everything is based on a book, a comic, a video game. It's just, people don't take chances anymore. I love a good high concept. Like, these are the stakes, this is the good guy, and this is what we have to do, and let's go. Let's go.
John, are you would you call yourself an action nut?
I wouldn't say that I naturally am, but I do. I don't hate the genre. I don't think they shouldn't exist. I do enjoy them when I watch them.
Wow, that's so giving of you.
Isn't that very nice of
me? Yeah.
Very generous of me. I give them space in the multiplex. They're not something that I'm typically drawn to, but everyone that I've seen so far for this podcast has been entertaining and engaging. And it is funny to sort of see how it's one of those things, if you like those tropes, you like those, you know what I mean? If you like the things of that genre, then it's always just going to be fun. And I can, even if I don't care, I can sort of see this movie especially they like shooting stuff. If that's something, if those things are fun for you, great. I prefer Tap Number typically, but it's all right. I'm no better or worse than anyone else.
Well, bullets are the shoes of dance.
That's true.
So John, we might as well get into it at this point. We're talking about...
I didn't know we were dropping Bible. Oh, go ahead.
John, we're talking about Face Off. What's the deal with Face Off?
Well, Mark, let me tell you the deal with Face Off. Face Off came out in 1997. It was directed by John Woo, written by Mike Werb and Michael Collery, starring John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. And Travolta plays an FBI agent, and Nicolas Cage plays a terrorist. Sworn enemies who assume each other's physical appearance. The movie grossed $248 million off a budget of $80 million and was the 11th highest. It was the 11th highest grossing film of 1997. And it was also nominated for an Academy Award for sound effects editing. And so that is the deal with Face Off.
So, DeMarcus, we asked you to pick a movie. Well, actually, you pitched this movie. We didn't even have to ask you to pick a movie. So why Face Off?
Well, Face Off, the unique thing about Face Off to me, and we kind of got into it a little bit, is that I don't think this movie, if it was not made, with this specific way, with this cast, yeah, this director, it would never have been made. All the other, there would have eventually been a Con Air. There would have eventually been a Rock. There would have been an Independence Day. Independence Day writes itself. Yep. You know, it's the 4th of July and aliens come. It's obvious.
Yeah.
But this, the magic of doing the most insane, making the most insane decision by casting both John Travolta and Nicolas Cage as leads in the same movie. That's like, we're already starting off with a hat on a hat, and then like by the end, there's like 50 hats, yeah, and it's beautiful, and it works. It works.
Are you a fan of like other like John Woo movies?
I can't. I mean,
have you seen other ones? You got Broken Arrow, yes, Hard Target, The Killer, Hard Boiled. Two hard movies.
Someone pulled up IMDb.
No, I knew that off the top of my head. How dare you? Hard Boiled.
The Killer and Hard Boiled are the ones that you're supposed to say. And I was a huge fan of those. I didn't like the other ones.
Broken Arrow, Hard Target.
Broken Arrow. Did not get into Broken Arrow, really.
So how many times have you seen Face Off, would you say?
Oh my God. Countless. Minimum 50 times? I mean, it's.
There was
like,
that one year where you watched it every week, right? So at least.
Well, yeah, you know, you
except for the
high
holidays.
Sometimes you put it on in the background. Sometimes you, like, convince your friends, like, you got to see this movie. So that's like 20 times by itself. Mm-hmm. And then it's every version of the movie that you buy. So
sure,
you get the DVD. You got to watch it at least once. The
Make
Blu-ray,
sure it works.
The Amazon Digital. it's a whole thing. It's a commitment.
Have there been like wildly different edits of the movie and all these different versions? You know how sometimes it'll be like, oh, this one has more scenes or this one has more stuff. Or is it just they got it right the first time and they've just stuck with it?
They got it right the first time. I don't think I've ever seen an alternate version, but one thing I will say, I discover something new every time I watch it. So it's like it's always new to me. So it's
well, this is the only American movie that they gave John Woo complete creative control for it. So they didn't have him. They got like no notes, essentially.
Wow.
John, what's your backstory with Face Off?
I had never seen Face Off before, wow, but it is definitely one of those movies where, like, the poster tells you the premise. You know what I mean? Like, I got the reference. I knew basically what it was about. Very few do it, pull it off as deftly as Face Off does.
See.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, on the one hand, watching it, I was like, this could be a two-person play, and it could be sort of like,
absolutely,
you know, like True West, where, you know, what was his name? Those
Sam
two actors,
Shepard.
Like, he wrote it, but those two actors, I can't think of, like, traded off every 3 days, they switch parts.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that could
yeah
be funny to be like, you don't know who you're getting. But I also thought, ultimately, I actually think Face Off should be an opera. Like, the emotions are that big. It's that, like, over the top, but in a way that, like, there were definitely like a lot of points in this movie where part of my brain was like, that is ridiculous. But then another voice in my head said, if you get caught up on that, you're missing out on all the fun and you're an idiot. So let their weird, dumb pseudoscience just be fun and stupid and not be like, what? Well, wouldn't it be this? Like, shut that off and just enjoy it. And
a
there
church
are joys
wouldn't have
to
that
be
many
had.
Doves.
See, I miss that. I miss the pseudoscience because it's like they used to be like these days. Like half the movie would be about the procedure of the face transplant.
Yeah.
But like I always think back to the best example to me is Back to the Future.
Okay.
Where if the guy just tells you it's like 88 miles per hour, 1.21 gigawatts, stainless steel car, blah, 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 and flux capacitor. And that's all we need to know about time travel. And this, the guy is like, he comes in and I love Dr. Walsh.
you have
he's so cocky. He's so cocky with like, oh, like, this is his science, and he's like breaking it down. We can reduce your fat, and we can change your hairline. Mm. We can make a new ear for your friend. And while he is being this character, he's telling us everything we need to know about the science. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, all right, yeah, that's it. Like, right. I see a little laser thing building the ear. I'm in. I believe you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that weird plastic face thing, which I don't know exactly how it works.
It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Yeah, and also, like, you could be like, so wait, they put, like, they just left John Travolta's face hanging out and around for, you know what I mean? Like,
it was in a vat.
You know, for Nick, it was in a vat, sure. Yeah. But like Nicolas Cage, they were just like, he's in a coma. No one needs to be watching him. No one needs to keep an eye on this criminal. But again, if you get caught up in that, you are real.
It's not the point of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Please don't come to
it's
my
like, you want
to
go watch a musical and say, well, no one sings.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Where's this music coming from? I don't see an orchestra.
Everyone else in the store knows the choreography, too. Boo.
Collect my things. Right, exactly. I'm leaving.
I'm lost. So, yeah, it was, and honestly, maybe I was even wondering, too, like, thinking it was an opera. It's like, this because, like, it's like John Travolta, Nick Cage, who are like, granted, they're very like Olive Garden Italian Americans, but they're like both like chew the scenery sort of like a same in the very similar way. Like they seem very hammy in the same universe in a way that was like really fun to watch them do these ridiculous, nonsensical, absurd.
I would say like operatic action is kind of like John Woo's thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's big. It's like everything's like done with a flourish. Nothing is ever half-assed. I remember I saw this in the theater and like it was what, 97 you said?
97.
I was a young man.
Okay, hanging out in the back of the movie theater Face Off.
Passing out free candy. And I loved it, but I don't think I had it on VHS, if you can believe it. And I don't think I had seen it for like maybe 15 years. The only thing I remembered was the face switching and the magnetic boot prison.
Oh, yeah,
and I remember, though, I did, like, I was in film school at the time, and I did remember, I made a short film involving time travel and two actors playing the same person, essentially.
Why haven't we seen this film?
I don't think it exists anywhere.
Oh, I'm sure it exists somewhere.
I'm
going to email your mother.
She does not have it. But I remember thinking, like, oh, in Face Off, they had, like, tics that they shared, and, like, let's do that. So I stole that. But I hadn't seen it in forever. I loved it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's maybe about 30 minutes too long. It's a good time at the movie. It's like there's nothing. If you have problems with the ridiculousness of the science, take it up with the Doves. You know what I mean? It's like we are not living in reality here. This is
exactly,
pure, I think operatic is the right word for it. So I thought it was a hoot. Now, DeMarcus, as you may or may not know, but I feel like you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. And we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. We're going to go through a bunch of categories, and at one point you will add a category, and it could become
canon.
All right, so let's go. We're all going to give it, and for the first round of categories, we're all going to give it a score out of 100. Then we take the average of that. And then there's a bonus round, and then another. You'll see. It's all fine.
Okay.
So here's our current top five. Number five, this is their percentage score. Number five with 72.74%, Labyrinth. Number four with 76.50%, Cats. Number three, 76.52%, Funny Girl. Number two, 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. And still number one with 79.51%, Grease 2.
Wait, the most gay movie is only 79%.
That's correct.
I'm feeling good about Facebook.
Really?
All right.
Enlighten me. So our first category, homoeroticism. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Face Off?
Okay.
Am I up?
You're up.
Oh. Sure, we can like talk about it at first if you want
to. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, watching it, there wasn't a lot of... there's one moment that I was like, oh, that's definitely, it has that weird action film where it's like the testosterone is so high, and maybe I'm looking for this, that there always feels a little bit like they could go from, they could either start fighting or fucking right now. So there's always a little bit of that.
There's
in the
a
air.
Lot of passion.
Yes. Again, again, an opera. Yes. But there's one moment, I think it was like shortly after John Travolta's character was now Nicolas Cage, and Robert Wisdom, who was like the friend of John Travolta, was like taking him into the prison, and he like, who was like, oh, it hurts, and he started massaging his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like a little bit like, oh, okay. I don't know where this is
that
going.
That was very sweet.
that to me was like the most overt moment of like homoeroticism.
Well, John, doesn't John Travolta lick Nicolas Cage at some point and say, God, I miss that face? He like goes to
That's
lick
right,
him.
He does. You're correct.
Yes. Yes. And, well, I was going to go a little bit more beneath the surface a little bit.
Okay.
Because to me, they are, passion is the perfect word. They have no passion outside of their passion for each other. They both have these kind of weird, disconnected relationships with their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'll call him Sean Archer. Can I use serial names?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so John Travolta and like his situation with Joan Allen, it's like a loveless marriage. I mean, there's context with the kid and everything, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, he is driven by, you know, finding and capturing Nicolas Cage's character, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So it's like the energy is there. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if that's fully homoerotic, but I mean,
it's not homoerotic.
Right.
It's
somewhere between 0 and 100.
It's a lot of energy.
I would say that's fair.
Okay.
So if you had it, but there's nothing like truly over it, but I do think there is like a lot of just the hunter prey element.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you give it on a scale of 0 to 100, DeMarcus?
Oh, boy.
You knew this was coming.
I would give it 75.
75?
75, yes.
Pretty homoerotic.
Yeah.
It's a, the women are hardly in the movie at all.
Right.
I mean, they service very specific elements of the plot, like one, a very horrible one. But yeah, I just feel like that energy is just so, they're always thinking about each other. It's the whole reason why they could take on this harebrained scheme in the first place, because they know each other better than they know anything else.
Right. They could improvise as each other. That's how well they know each other.
That's the whole magic of the movie. It's like, John Travolta, you're going to be Nicolas Cage. No, not the character. You're going to be Nicolas Cage for 75% of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. In watching it, I was like, I think Joan Allen's a great actress, but I was like, they really don't want us to care about this relationship. Because it just looked, the wig they put her in, I know we're going to get to wigs later, but it looked like a George Washington wig that she was wearing. Like, there was nothing about her that made her attractive.
It's so weird to see a movie where, like, the camera's ogling Joan Allen. Like, that just, I feel like, has that ever happened? Not that she's a lovely woman, but she's not like... it's not like Megan Fox or, you know,
right, right.
And they sold it too.
I believe it.
It was like, you know, like the part where she's like walking away and he's making the comments and kind of lusting after a little bit.
Yes.
They're just like, you know, it's not we're not just going to show Joan Allen's ass, but we're just going to give it like that extra little paprika. Just
paprika.
To,
get a little spice.
Just to show it. Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it for homoeroticism?
For homoeroticism, yeah, I think 70 sounds right. I'll go 77.
77?
I just feel like there is like a sort of like a real sort of, I don't know, wrestle energy to this movie that's sort of sexy.
Wrestle energy?
Yes.
Yeah,
vessel.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, exactly.
How about you, Mark? I'm going to go 60. It's there. It is all, but it is all subtext. So I think if to be more, it would have to be higher. I don't have a hot
see
take
how
on.
You. I see how you apply math.
Yeah, given an average of 70.67, that's more than Ginger Snaps. All right, next category: actual gay characters. I did not spot any. The only one maybe is Pollux. his Which brother. He's maybe
I
I'm
see what
pull,
you
that's
mean.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not based on mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think I mean this there is sexuality in the
sexuality exists. That's true.
But I mean, but they no, like it's not just pure action. They do show or especially imply a lot of the relationships, and none of them are. I don't think they're Margaret Cho.
No,
she's a gay actress. But no,
I mean, we spent 40 minutes of the movie in a prison and nothing.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. They were about everything except sex. So
it's just very horny at the opening, though, when they're like intaking Nicolas Cage. He doesn't know where he is, and there's just that spotlight on him, and he's naked, and the warden's like, "Your ass belongs to me,"
right? Yeah,
and I mean that. So, what would you give? I don't think there are any actual gay characters in
no.
this. So, what would you give that on a score?
I mean, I guess zero.
It happens.
A strong zero.
It does happen, but I'm going to give it a 10, just for 10%. There's got to be some gay people in there somewhere.
It's got to be, but...
There's got to be.
If that's the position the movie is putting us in, assuming, I have to give it a zero.
Fair. I understand.
All right. Next category, camp factor. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Face Off?
I mean, this is straight camp. Like, a very, yeah, like, grade A definition of that.
This movie could have been called Camp. Face Camp.
Face Camp.
But I think it, and I think that was, I mean, can something be intentionally campy? Because I feel
so.
Like that kind of takes yeah. away. Yeah.
There is a difference. Like, there is something funner about camp that is just like, oh, they don't know how bad they are, as opposed to something
yeah.
that it's like, oh, we're doing this as if it's bad, but it's fun. Like they're both different things, but I understand
camp-
that like the unintentional camp has a slight edge.
But even intentional camp doesn't mean like we know this is bad. We just know this is ridiculous more this is
yeah,
bigger than
I think,
life.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of the unifying thing, because I think like with camp, it's like the level or the degree to which people are taking something seriously is disproportionate to what it actually is. And so I think sometimes you could do that intentionally, and sometimes you could be like, I'm going to be really mad about something. You're just like, you're crazy mad about something stupid, and that's campy and fun.
Yeah. And here it translates into all sorts of slow motion doves.
We have the doves. We have doves in a church. We have John Travolta making fun of his own chin.
Funny.
Yelling at a face in a jar. There's just so much. It's just pure camp.
Mark, what do you, DeMarcus? I don't know. I call you three things.
Has anything ever achieved 100? Because I
oh, yeah.
want to go 100.
You can go 100.
Okay, 100 on the
100?
That's his strongest suit, I think. I think that's where this movie
lives.
It is
definitely a heightened
camp.
World.
Yeah.
I think once you're allowing a world where there's like face switching, like it's fine to do magnet boots, prisons.
Yeah.
I almost wish there was like a third thing like in the last like hour, because like it kind of stops with that after a while.
Well, one of the things I like, and I don't know if this you know, takes his foot off the gas a little bit, but there's a lot of times where they call out the ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's explaining to his wife, and it's just like, he's explaining, it's like, well, they switched my face, and then they killed everyone that knew, and then it's like they really try to like, okay, we know this is crazy, and now he's got to explain this with the murderer, the face of the murderer of their child, explaining that to the mother. It's like...
It's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a list of campy things I noticed. A hitman unfurling his rifle with a flourish. Flourish.
Oh, wow.
A hitman using a straw. Slow motion. Shots of balloons floating away. Blood on a merry-go-round. Margaret Cho saying Interpol insists he's in Tripoli. Nicolas Cage undercover as a priest. That tongue-sucking. Hummers. A zip drive. Magnetic boots. A drug freakout scene. Lobsters. The cockroaches of the sea being considered fancy. Thematic use of mirrors. Catholicism. Joan Allen smashing someone with a chair. And the weird wiping your hand across someone's face thing that's meant to be endearing. But I thought that was so strange.
That was very creepy.
Yeah. Especially in the COVID days. Get your hand
oh, yeah.
away from
yeah,
my
that,
face.
That's one of the things that... That did not
age
well.
All these crowd scenes didn't age well.
Nope.
No one wearing a mask. Didn't age well. So you're giving 100. John, what are you going to give it for camp?
It's really, really high. I think I would give it 100 if in the third act, like, John Travolta and Nicolas Cage did somehow start singing. Since they don't do that, I'll give it a 97.
97.
It's a pretty goddamn campy movie.
It is. I'm going to give it an 85. I did think it just needed like a third device. Like in Eraser, they have those like laser gun, or Congo has laser guns. You know what I mean? I feel like it needed some other heightened thing at the end.
Okay.
But
if you were to pitch something, what would it be?
Jetpacks.
A jetpack, right.
Jetpack, you didn't like the boat.
I mean, they were on boats.
Speed
I love the speed
that
boat.
Exploded,
I love it.
Like...
I love it.
That to me, while watching the movie, I was like, I will never in my life pitch, what if they end up on boats? And so I was impressed by that.
The stunt work
like, that
is
will
incredible.
Never be like...
The one where the flips, they fly off of it, it lands behind them, explodes while the guys are flying in the air, and they do it all in one shot. It's amazing.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
Never.
CGI
now. A good chase. Now, the chase was way too long. Yes. Mm-hmm. I will say that. I mean, it went on forever. But I felt like that was a thing in the 80s and bleeding
I just
into
think
the
if,
90s.
If it's
going
to be a heightened world with this face-swapping like technology and the magnet boot prison, it needed like a third thing towards the end. Because we kind of got that's all the front half of the movie.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so our next category, over-the-top wardrobe. It's not too crazy.
It's not too crazy.
But there's some fun
things. One thing I wrote down, CCH Pounder had a very big brooch in the beginning of the movie that I was like, that's a lot.
Yes.
Well, Cassius Troy has all his gold accessories.
I didn't know who the guy, the tall, bald guy. Who was that character?
This is like Dietrich.
Oh, Dietrich.
Yeah. He had some fun coats.
Yeah, I didn't know
like,
his coats.
That's a little flashy. Mm-hmm.
He also had that weird kiss with his sister. Like this heavy.
Oh, it was unclear.
No, I looked at the IMDb trivia. John, you've been lax on the trivia. They mentioned it.
One thing I noticed too, which surprised me, is there was that scene with Gina Gershon and Nicolas Cage where like he's like in bed. I don't know if it's like Nicolas Cage as John Travolta's character. I don't remember right now. But like we saw more of like Nicolas Cage's body than Gina Gershon. Like Gina Gershon was like the second female lead in this movie, and she was always fully dressed, which is surprising.
Why is that surprising?
It shouldn't be surprising, but it's surprising just in the fact, like, it's Gina Gershon. She's gorgeous. She's sexy. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a sense of like, well, if you have her, let's take a look. But then you have, you don't, but then you have Nicolas Cage, who is very attractive. I'll take nothing away from him, but like, he's shirtless in this movie more than Gina Gershon is.
Do you think it's
and in the 90s, in an action movie, that's surprising.
Well, do you think it's because Gina
was
playing a mom? Like, she's a mother. So, like, we don't want
possibly
people, a mother can't be sexy. So, we don't want to, you know.
That might have been their thinking, but she still looked
there were
incredible.
Sexy ladies, though, like hanging out in the henchmen's, like, apartment.
That's true.
The loft.
Fair enough. But I bet Gina Gershon got paid more than they did.
I would hope so.
Oh, absolutely. And this was like prime, like, 97 was like peak.
Yeah,
Gina Gershon naked.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Also like she had been naked. So what she got? Did he hear
maybe that
more?
Was?
Yeah,
she was you can rent Showgirls. We're fine.
You've seen it all. And I can't find my baby. So what are you going to give this for over the top wardrobe, DeMarcus?
I was 60.
60.
I really like the guns.
The
I like
gold
the gold plated guns and the slow mo trench coat.
Iconic.
And Dietrich.
Yes. I'm going to go a little lower because it's not that over the top. But again, that brooch that CCH Pounder wore was really caught my eye. So I'm going to give it a 35.
35. I think I'm going to match you, John, with 35. It's mostly a lot of accessory work in Face Off. Mm-hmm.
So John Travolta's face isn't an accessory for Nicolas Cage?
Is that a wardrobe or is that prop?
Right.
Which department would handle a face? Would it be makeup?
Okay, you win.
Who knows?
All right, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Face Off and come away with a whole book of ideas? I mean, I think if, like two drag queens decide, hey, let's paint each other's faces or I'll paint my face like you paint yours. You know what I mean? Like a Trixie Mattel and a Bianca Del Rio swap or something. Like,
Sure.
There's something to like a show idea, I feel like. And isn't there's an actual...
Wasn't there a show called
Face Off? There's a makeup show called Face Off. But that's like special effects makeup.
Oh.
Not drag.
I mean, our idea.
But there's not a huge amount of, like, it's all very 90s looking, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right. Earth and tones. Also, like, the thing, there's nothing about it that make you be like, oh, that's definitely Face Off, other than, like, oh, you're Nicolas Cage.
Right. I think maybe, like, maybe Nicolas Cage in the priest outfit.
Sure.
Yes. Man, I feel like there's more. I don't want to lean too heavily back into Diedrich. See, the rub is that pretty early on, Caster Troy becomes John Travolta, so he can't show out as much with the wardrobes. Uh-huh.
Right.
He has to play it down.
There is also the right. boots.
But, he has to dress out of John Travolta's closet. So
Slim yeah. Pickens. There's also those magnetic boots.
Those suits are very well tailored.
Magnetic boots are over the top wardrobe.
That's
drag queen
true.
Inspiration. I mean,
if a drag queen came out with metal boots, you'd be like, Face Off, yeah.
And then the boots come through. And then they death drop with the boots locked to the floor. There's
sure.
something.
There's something.
There's something. Is this a good drag queen show? Absolutely
right, right.
not.
Is it? Is I mean, you is yeah. it? Could it inspire something great? Sure. Would you know that A that went from A to C? Probably not.
Probably not. You can't reverse engineer a Face Off drag show. Martin.
Well, what about just Joan Allen?
What about just
I
Joan Allen?
I feel like
Allen?
She's her own. You can have a show that's just dedicated to dressing
it
like Joan
like
Allen.
A tribute to Talbots.
Yeah, well tailored Talbot yeah. suits. Category is
yeah. Earth tones.
Earth tone extravaganza.
Yeah.
So we got to give a number for drag queen inspiration.
Yeah. 15.
15. Tough but fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 15 as well.
15. I'm gonna go 20 just because of my pain in the face idea.
Okay.
I'm just giving it away.
Sure.
All right, next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
I mean, I literally recommend it to everyone.
You did.
I do think, like, if you haven't seen, if you're, like, if you're a person who's, like, not into action movie, I think this is a good entry point. You know what I mean?
Like, I also feel like this is a good, like, this is an action movie from the 90s.
Yes.
If you need to reference an action movie from the 90s, Face Off will give
one.
You like it's like yeah, a great yeah. gold standard one.
And it's never really boring. Mm. There's a lot of flair. Mm. And gays love flair.
We love yeah. flair.
A lot of dove slow motion. Mm. A lot of exploding boats.
What is this? Fire gays love
exploding
I'm
boats.
Trying,
He's
I'm,
right.
I'm
Thank
I'm
you for
working.
Being brave enough to say it. Thank you.
I'm really trying to work down from 100, but man.
If you want to say 100, say
95.
Recommendation. Yeah. I got to figure there's some people I might say, maybe this isn't your speed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in their
gotcha,
90s
gotcha.
Or someone invalid. Or
yeah, I'm trying to think. I would say to someone, like, if I was hanging out, if I was having a brunch and somehow Face Off came up and someone was like, I've never seen it, I would be like, it's a fun, ridiculous action 90s action movie.
What's the etiquette, John? Would you recommend Face Off to someone who's clearly had a lot of, like, plastic surgery done? Or would they be like,
probably
excuse
not.
Me? You know?
Probably not if I was with someone who had gotten a lot of face work done.
You pick something else.
I'd be like,
on air.
You'd really appreciate it yeah. on a whole other level. I'm going to say 80.
80. I'm going to go 70. I would recommend it. If you like action movies, not familiar, it's fun. All right. Next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? I don't think it's pretty sedate. It's not nothing. It's
yeah.
not lingering a lot. We see more close-ups of women's asses that get cops a feel, you know?
I don't know. We do get a lot of, like, Nicolas Cage's
but it's always
torso.
From, like, the side, you know what I mean? There's is that one uh-huh. shot of John Travolta has his, like, shirt unbuckled. There's they really linger
right.
on the scar. And, like, Joan
right,
Allen's
right,
hands
right.
are just, like, digging, like, in his chest hair.
I also wasn't 100% convinced that was John Travolta's chest. Because the way that it was shot,
sure.
there could have been a chest double.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah, not a lot of... I mean, there wasn't a lot of cause for them to focus on the male body.
I mean, there's usually not a lot of cause to focus on the female body, but they do it anyway.
Well, I mean,
you want to defend that?
It's the man's world.
Oh, okay.
We're living in a patriarchy. We're going. We're just 10,000 years. Yeah,
it stopped in 98. Thank God.
Yeah.
I think John Woo is decidedly straight, though. Judging by the camera work,
he seems very straight.
So, what would you give it on a scale of 0 to 100?
Male gaze for me. I think I'm going to go 15. Yeah.
I'm going to go a little higher because I do think he makes Travolta and Cage look good.
They do,
like, even
right?
when they're supposed to be like beaten up and sort of whatnot. Like, I do think so I'm, but I agree. It's not like, damn, ever. But I'll give it a, damn. I'll give it a 33.
33.
Damn, Cage.
Damn, Cage. You got me tripping. I'm going to give it a 27. Give an average of a 25. That's double Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
All righty.
All right. Next category. You might make up some points here. Entrances with pizzazz. Constant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tons.
Yeah. I always. Stopped. Is there a scene change that's not dramatic?
Has it been 2 minutes? Here's an entrance with pizzazz.
The ultimate is arriving at the private plane. That's one of my favorite scenes. I think I could just watch. Yeah, and the wind is blowing his coat like a cape, and the guys are feeding him chiclets and putting his jacket on for him, and he's tying his brother's shoes.
There's also the scene Sean is in prison and he sees like that giant door open and Cassar's there wearing his face.
That was great.
Well, that's amazing.
That was
terrifying. Do you think does a better job playing the other, Nicolas Cage or John Travolta?
John Travolta.
I think so too, right?
I think he was given more, though.
Yeah, I think Nicolas Cage is more of a hammy, bigger actor, so John Travolta had more choices to play with.
I mean, this
like, Nicolas Cage's job was sort of to be like, oh, don't be noticed.
Right.
As opposed to, like, John Travolta as, you know, however you want to talk about it. His was like...
He had to play, like, a sad, mopey character, too. Like, it's like, okay, you're going to become John Travolta, but a very, like... sad and distraught and just
going slowly
like
losing
miserable.
Your mind version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they both did a great job. Don't get me
it's
wrong.
Kind of waste.
I would also say like the reveal in a way that the prison is in the middle of the ocean. It's very fun.
Oh yeah. That was a good one. Yeah.
Just John walking into the office and getting that applause. And then when they repeat it again, and this time he's like just loving it. So I think there's tons. What would you give this, DeMarcus, for entrances with pizzazz?
Wow. I think we're back in the 90s again. I would say 92. Yeah.
Batman Returns
came out.
Oh, what quite a year. I'm going to give it
83.
I feel like it's good, but there could have been like a little bit more.
It's no
for
Bring
other
It
characters
On
and stuff. This is not Chicago.
I'm going to give it a 89. I think it's pretty. No, a 90. I'm going to give it a 90.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. I'm going to give it a 95 now that I think about it.
What?
Smart choice. Wow. Smart choice, yes. Yeah, he has his entrance that I love in the cathedral at the end where he's like doing the chant. So
John,
many.
You did 83? Just making sure.
I'll bump it up to 87.
No, because I literally accidentally deleted yours, so I wanted to.
Oh. Then let's let that stand. 0. No, 87.
Okay, great. All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Face Off? I think it's pretty dramatic.
There's a bunch. I mean, like, they use lights to recreate
They
an
use
ear.
Lights. Oh, like the laser, 3D laser printing, mm-hmm. before that was cool.
3D laser printing for ears, right.
There's also that shot of when... I love the sequence when Nicolas Cage like wakes up from his coma and he doesn't have a face, and just how they shoot that is you only see
that
little
cool.
bits of it. But then there's the one shot when he's on the phone and you see his shadow with like the Venetian blinds.
Mm-hmm.
Looks great.
And also at the very end when John Travolta, who is back to being John Travolta, comes home.
Yes.
It's so like the lighting is so overexposed. Like it's heavenly.
Oh,
it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just surprising his family with like,
yeah, yeah.
Just in case you were done grieving, here's a reminder, a second chance.
Michael too.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's a conversation you have before you bring the child over.
Yeah, not in front of the child. No, not like, hey, sorry, I thought this was going to go differently. We're going to send you back.
No, that's a power move. It's a power. It's like when you bring the puppy to your parents and ask you, you know, well, then again, you don't give a shit about a puppy's feelings, but a child.
Excuse me?
You're not sending. But a kid, it's like, hey, can we keep him? It's just like, yeah. That would have been pretty sweet if they would have said
that. Would have been very cool. So what are you going to give this for dramatic lighting? Prison looks great. The hangar and the opening looks great.
60. Yeah.
I'm going to go higher than that. I think it's pretty fun. They don't go like too crazy. So I'm going to go 81.
81. I'm going to go 75. This is before they went digital and they actually had to light things without just a white glow.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, strident women. Well, there's Sasha, Gina Gershon,
and Joan Allen.
A movie
a
with Gina Gershon shooting off a machine gun. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
With a baby in her hands.
CCH Pounder again. She's like, she's no nonsense. She's not going to take any guff.
Yeah, she literally convinced him to like remove his face and put the guy's face on. And even Jamie, the daughter.
Oh yeah.
Felt like she
oh
was
yeah.
Very
that's true.
Classic sulky teen.
She just stabbed him.
CCH Pounder.
She stabs someone and shots him.
CCH Pounder puts out a cigarette on comatose Nicholas Cage. Like, I don't think that's ethical.
Certainly not necessary.
No. Also, you should not be smoking in where someone's on oxygen.
No. there's a lot of that.
That's a strident woman for you.
That's a strident woman for
she's
you. You
smoke.
Don't tell me where I can
she's
smoke.
Not going to wear a mask. And she's going to smoke in the ICU. DeMarcus, what are you going to give this for our strident women?
89.
There weren't that many women who had big parts. But I'm gonna go 83.
83. I think you hit the nail on the head when there's a lot of women that don't have very big parts. But there's a lot of strident women, but they just...
That's true.
This is really the Nicolas Cage, John Travolta show. So I'm going to give it a 50. Oh. All right. But you're going to make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is Face Off?
Well, let's see. The movie starts off before a word is uttered with a child being shot with a sniper rifle.
On a merry-go-round.
On a merry-go-round, of all places.
Blood on a merry-go-round is pretty goddamn macabre.
And the name of one-man show. You thought Carousel was good? Wait till you see Blood.
Blood on a merry-go-round.
And then also Nicolas Cage like shoots that one female agent on the plane and then throws her out, though. Then throws her out of the plane. And then like you really see her. She lands hard.
Oh, yeah.
Real hard. And also, there's a face transplant that happens to
there's
two
definitely.
Characters.
Yes. Pretty macabre. A lot of squibs. I love squibs. No CGI blood
squib.
Here.
I also loved in the prison where, like, John Travolta as Nicolas Cage, like, his like, cell was, like, underneath where everyone walks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they all, like, walked over. It's like, what? Who designed this prison?
It's like Dickensian or something.
Yeah.
But it was pretty roomy. Like when you get into a prison, you know, you're all cramped up with you know, another guy in like a 10x10, and man, he had like a that was like a big studio.
Yeah,
you just had to see people walk over you.
You just
time.
Have to break up the space.
Maybe a rug.
Just create spaces with it. Yeah,
DeMarco, what are you going to give this for macabre? How macabre is Face Off?
Oh man. I got it 91 just off the child murder.
91 for a child murder.
Yeah. I'm going to go 88 for child murder.
88 for a child murder. For an action movie, I don't know. It's more macabre than your typical action movie because there's like almost like a Frankenstein element going like a mad scientist thing. I'm going to give it a 82.
All right.
Pretty macabre. Just needed a gothic castle. All right. Next category, wigs. How would you rate the wigs in Face Off?
Okay, I know I said it before, but I think Joan Allen is wearing a George Washington wig.
You think she is? You don't think that's her just like bad 90s hair?
There's something going on there. I don't know. Maybe it's her hair.
Like, I think it's just a curling iron.
Were people doing perms in the 90s? I don't think they
were
doing
perms.
I think
it was curls. The curls were huge in the 90s.
Sure. I bet that they're still pieces. I don't think Joan Allen's
Nicolas Cage wearing a wig, though.
John Travolta's got something going on.
John Travolta's hairline
looked natural there. Is this like the last before he started losing it?
Really? I thought he started losing it
No,
earlier.
I think this is like plugs. I think he had to have been losing it earlier. You don't suddenly start losing your hair in like your 50s.
Well, I'll show you.
Suddenly?
Is a plug a wig?
Well, I guess... That's what this podcast has been all about for the past year.
It's been
year.
Leading us to this moment right here.
A toupee. Yeah, that counts as a wig. A toupee.
I feel like that's under the umbrella.
I think any kind of hair piece. Yeah. Anything that sort of like is added to the hair.
Hair illusion.
I definitely feel like to add to the illusion of hair.
But it's not a crazy, like there's not a lot of iconic hairstyles in this movie, I would say.
True. No one's got like a crazy weird wig on.
Just the daughter, but, or Sasha maybe, and like when we first see her. She becomes, you know, her goth look, which is a weird glammy goth. I'm not quite sure what subculture she was attracted to, what she was going for there. What are you going to get?
I also think based on the fact that like John Travolta and Nicolas Cage's hair is sort of a plot element. So I think I'm going to give it a few more points for that.
Okay. Fair enough. A little preview.
Hold on to your hats, especially if there's a wig underneath, because
DeMarcus, what are you going to give Face Off for wigs?
Wigs, I'll go 30.
30.
I'm actually going to go 60.
60?
Just because like, yes, because I was, the whole time I kept looking at John Travolta being like, what is going on there? I think there's definitely some wigs happening on some low-key subtle wigs, but it's definitely there. And again, it's part of the plot in a way, so you got to give it some points for that. You were warned, Mark.
Wow, this is insane. You gave Little Shop of Horrors 45.
Well,
and that has like nine times the
wigs. There was a plot point
wigs.
That Audrey too had to wear a wig to eat people. Then it was.
It's in the director's
higher.
Cut. I'm gonna give this a 25 for wigs. Not very wig. Given an average of 38.33. Eat shit, cats. All right, next category, quips. How quippy is Face Off? I think it's pretty quippy.
Yeah.
It's pretty quippy.
Everything Caster Troy says, whether he's Nicolas Cage or John Travolta, is a quip.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down a few of my favorites. I'm about to unleash the biblical plague hell A deserves.
Okay.
When I get out of here, I'm going to have you fired. When he's in prison, that's funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, lies, deceit, mixed messages. This is turning into a real marriage.
Yeah,
that's
I
like
wrote
a
that
Hallmark car. That's a shoebox greeting.
That's a, like they'll do it every time kind of comic strip.
The Lockhorns. Dress up like a ghoul and dress up for Halloween and ghouls will try to get in your pants, which is like slut shaming. Mm. Like, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty quippy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, man. I mean, it really fell on one character, but oh, okay, and a little bit of Diedrich in the little house party scene. So
yes,
I would go.
He even like stopped shooting guns to go, damn, my place is getting fucked up. Like they stopped an action sequence so he could deliver a quip that was marginal in its iconicness, but still was like, they were like, this is important to do this right now.
Very important. What are you going to give this for quips, DeMarcus?
85.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. It feels like the script wanted to be quippy and almost like everything is like a little quotey. So yeah, 85 sounds good to me.
It delivered. I'm going to give it an 80. Mm-hmm. Give it an average of 83.33. Ooh, that's 1.33 points higher than Top Gun.
There you go.
This is definitely funnier than Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category, vibrato. How vibrato,
so vibrato
is Face Off?
We also mean like extra zhuzh. So it's not just like singing vocal, literal vibrato, but like anytime like they take a moment and like put a little more on it, give you a little more extra zhuzh on it than it maybe you need.
I mean,
but they give it to you and you like it.
That's the entire movie, I feel like.
This movie is.
It's the entire movie, and I loved it.
That's its philosophy. There's not a lot of vibrato singing.
No, very little.
To be fair.
Well,
there is that in that there's that whole choir at the very beginning.
Yeah,
room.
The LA Convention.
Were they vibrato, though?
There would be vibrato in the singing. Oh, yeah.
Is all singing vibrato?
No.
But what about Nicolas Cage vibrato when he like, sings? That doesn't
probably a little bit. I mean, like his entire acting career is vibrato. Yeah. Like he's always vibrating extra. He's always giving you more.
Have you seen Mandy?
He's always just. I have not seen.
You
Mandy.
Gotta see Mandy, John.
Is that his understated performance?
No.
Oh.
It's great though. What are you gonna give this for vibrato, DeMarcus?
75.
Oh, I'm going much higher.
Reserved.
Yeah. I'm gonna go 92. I feel like 92. This movie is just like it's like they took a cocaine pass. They're like, all right, let's take all these moments and like amp it up. Where it's like, yeah, fuck yeah. So I think it's very vibrato.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 95 for vibrato.
Let me
you
bump that up,
Marcus.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely 95 because I was thinking more. I was we ended on the singing aspect of it, and I was thinking like, well, yeah, there was that one part where he sang. The whole movie is bravado. So
yeah, given an average 95, of 94, that's 3 points higher than Funny Girl. Mm-hmm. All right, our final in the canon categories: footwork. How would you judge the footwork in Face Off?
I mean, it starts off with Nicolas Cage dancing as a priest.
Yes.
You've got all those metal shoes, which is again like a huge plot point. All of the action sequences are
so much
footwork.
Running, jumping,
so much
firing
running,
a gun
jumping.
In midair. That was the thing to do in the 90s.
Getting into a boat. Yeah.
A lot of getting. Just the speedboat chase itself required some footwork, mm-hmm. I would believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because of John Woo that we have people firing two guns at the same time while jumping in midair. That's the thing he came up with.
Wow.
So let's show some respect to our pioneers.
Yeah, yeah. That gets you 55, like right out of the gate. And then you have just John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, who I think only strut. And they don't walk normally. Everything is a fancy little shuffle True. With the two steps. So, man.
You are correct.
Where do you go? I mean... I'll go
90. Yeah, I mean, I think it's as I'm going to go 93. I feel like
93.
It's very footworky.
I'm going to do 92. Very footworky, giving an average of 91.67. All right, now we are into the wheel categories. These are categories that other guests have come up that are neither canon nor bonus. So we're going to do four of these. John, spin that wheel.
Spinning that wheel for you.
And at the end of this, DeMarcus, you will add a category, and it will be added to the wheel.
All right.
Until we update the system.
All righty. Teamwork.
Teamwork. How much teamwork is in Face Off? I mean, they kind of fuck over their teams.
Yeah. Now, a big part of it is solo, but I feel like especially on the Nicolas Cage side, when he is Sean Archer, there's a lot of teamwork. And I'll say this.
Yeah.
There was a part where they're hanging out in Diedrich's place where I almost felt like I want to see him join their little crew. They were into each other and dapping each other up and you know, doing drugs and stuff. That just
It would have
been
fun if there was a little more like emotional transference. You know, if like Nicolas Cage got a little better and John Travolta got a little wilder, you know.
They all learned a little something.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You wanted a little more Freaky Friday in this?
I always do for every movie I've ever seen. Persona, a little more Freaky Friday. Bergman.
Thank you.
I guess there's like the police, you know, cannon fodder.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's fortunate is that like John Travolta's team gets pretty much... destroy pretty quickly.
Maybe if they had worked together better, they would have, you know. It is fun watching
is
when the
failure of not working together.
I don't know. Maybe it better come up with a strategy because clearly just throwing guys into the room is not working.
Yeah, coming in on lines where you're just like dangling right in the line of fire. Yeah, probably not a good idea. I thought Tito was cool at the beginning, though. That they work well together. What's Wisdom? Wisdom's character?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he dies so early. I love that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to give this for teamwork?
Teamwork? I'll go 55.
55.
Yeah, there's not a lot. It is mostly these two guys. So I'll give it a 55. You said 55? I'll say 55.
55.
As well.
I'm going to give it a 25. I do not think of Face Off as a teamworking movie. Give it an average of 45. Other categories in teamwork include Top Gun.
All right, next we have Lovers Turned Friends.
Lovers Turned Friends. Is it just, well, I felt like Gina Gershon and Nicolas Cage stayed lovers. Right? In
it
some
seems
ways,
like
the
sex
sad
wasn't
thing
off
is,
the table.
It almost seems like John Travolta and Joan Allen, their marriage has turned into a lovers turned friend situation. You could make a case
it
for that.
It did feel like that to me.
I think that's maybe the strongest case for lovers turned friends. Mm-hmm. Which in that case, it's like, it's damning your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to say the same thing happened with Nicolas Cage and Gina Gershon also, but he was a different person, so they were never lovers. So the body,
they were lovers. He's the father of her son.
Well, his body was, but then
Troy.
Yeah, Caster Troy, and then Sean Archer really extends like the olive branch and tries to make amends. And then he ends up taking care of her kid. But lovers to friends. Yeah, Eve and Sean at the beginning, definitely. That's more like roommates almost. Cause here.
Yeah. So what are you going to give it?
Oh, 25.
Yeah, it's not a big theme and it's not. The way that we're looking for it isn't like a good thing. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 20.
20. I think it is a big thing because I think it is like his character arc, essentially. Mm. Sean Archer's learning, like, you know, she sees what it could have been with Caster Troy in her body. Like, she gets a lobster dinner. There's nothing more romantic.
Nothing.
I think he made lobster and also had a bowl of spaghetti, which that's too much.
That's Italian for you.
That's too much.
You always have a pasta course.
He made so much food. I'm going to give it a 50 for Lovers Certain Friends. I think it's a big theme.
All right.
Wheel category number 3, please. Lovers Turn Friends, brought to us by Marcy Giroux from the movie Beaches.
Okay, here we go. Non-traditional murder weapons.
Well, you got those gold guns.
You got the gold guns.
Yeah.
A harpoon gun.
There's that.
The harpoon gun.
There's
yeah.
that. One of them is trying to kill the other one with like a what do they call on a boat that an anchor. an anchor. That's non-traditional. And also, John Travolta kills Harvey Presnell. I think his name is with his right hand. So John Travolta's right hand is not traditionally a murder weapon.
It's like punching somebody or choking somebody.
He chopped the back of his head and then like
he like induced
like
a heart
suffocated
attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now question. Does someone actually have to be murdered with the weapon?
Yes.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. I think if the intention is murder, like no one was murdered by an anchor, but someone was trying to kill someone.
Well,
with
I say if we're going
so
to score.
So it was used as a.
Well, the bio weapon at the beginning. I mean, that was going to kill millions.
Mm-hmm. But is it non-traditional?
The biological
action
weapon
movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the police were using it a few weeks ago.
Oh, well, touche.
That seems pretty traditional to America.
Oh, Face Off.
But I do
so
think you have to give it. I feel like yes, there an anchor exists, but I feel like you can't. That's not 100. You know what I mean? Like if it actually accomplishes the murder, that makes it higher. So I'm calibrating.
Sure, but he asked if it actually had to murder someone for it to count at all.
Could the jet engine could that be considered a non-traditional murder weapon?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're stretching, but you can always make the argument.
I mean, no one's going to tell you what to do. We might roll our eyes and say, "Okay."
I mean, he freaking like blasted him with just an experimental engine that, for some reason, was in LAX hangar for
right.
Whatever
that's how those things work. So what are you going to give it?
I'll go 60.
60.
I'm gonna go 68.
68, 1 point away from Fun Times. Mm-hmm. I love 67, Summer of Love. I'm gonna go 65. Okay. Pretty non-traditional. All right, our last wheel category. Non-traditional murder weapons brought to us by Brian Rucker and Aggie Hewitt from the Talented Mr. Ripley episode.
Okay, here we go. Weird line deliveries.
I mean, constant. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah, is there
Cage's
any
career?
Other, yeah. I want to like adjust it a little bit because Nicolas Cage is in it, but you know what? I'm going to give it bonus points because
we'll see
John Travolta. John Travolta is actually delivering Nicolas Cage's weird speech cadence.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
for most of the movie. So that I feel like that alone is pretty strong. And then and then that weird affectation from Pollux Troy. I've seen him in other movies
that
he definitely doesn't talk like that. So that's like a very strong choice.
It's very weird.
So
what are you gonna give it?
I'll go 91.
91.
I'm gonna go 84.
84.
I think like Nicolas Cage definitely like tries to do that for all of his lines, but there's not as many like iconic specific lines, like crazy weird lines from this movie necessarily that like stuck out to me.
As opposed
but
to what?
A ton of
like what movie does have crazy weird lines? If Face Off doesn't. He had a sex
true.
Sandwich
Face-off?
With his wife and daughter the day you got came
that's
in
true.
Here.
That's true.
I'm giving in 85 or 80 and giving it an average of 86.67. All right, DeMarcus, the time has come for you to add a category that we can judge future movies and this movie with for how gay they are.
To figure out how gay it is.
I'm going to go, I mean, we're doing Face Off. It has to be the weird face touching. How much face touching is in a movie?
You think the more face touching in a movie, the gayer it is? Is that your thesis?
I think if you just started touching my face...
Well, even like
as
when
a,
they don't touch
a,
face, like just like doing a weird
yeah,
paw
yeah,
in front
just
of someone's
that.
Face,
and as a sign of affection, but like not even really romantic affection. It's like
is it maybe
it
like awkward PDA?
Strange. Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there, John. What
awkward
do you think?
Awkward PDA.
I don't know. That could work. I will. For some reason, anytime they did that face, do you guys remember the movie Project X?
Yes.
It came out in like
Apple.
The late 80s.
With the monkey.
Sorry, Matthew Broderick. Yeah, with the monkey. That's what every time they did that, it seemed to me like they were doing like sign language or like talking about a specific character. Like it seemed very.
Remember at the end when
Apple.
Matthew Broderick says, like, the monkeys don't know
free.
They're dying. That's the difference. Because it was all about pilots. If they've been exposed to nuclear bombs, could they still be pilots? Mm-hmm. So they're exposing
right,
monkeys to the nuclear bombs. That Matthew Broderick stops it by saying, the
monkeys really
don't know they're dying.
I really was not paying attention to that movie. I think I was just focused on the monkey.
Right.
But does
yeah, I think like unique,
unique
touch. I don't know.
Unique
like something
touch.
About like the idea of like, oh, you have to.
Touch.
Does PDA
unique
imply
touching?
Something sexual?
Public display.
Like romantic?
Public display of affection.
Affection.
I would say. It could be sexual, but it could just be like a sweet
okay.
thing. You know what I mean?
Something we'll never do with our friends for until there's a vaccine.
Never again. Mm-hmm.
So what are we thinking? Awkward PDA or what was yours, John? I'm pointing at you as if you could see me pointing.
Unique touch or something
unique
like that?
What do you
or?
Think, DeMarcus?
Oh. Awkward PDA.
Awkward okay. PDA? Awkward PDA is... So what would you give Face Off for awkward PDA?
100.
100. It's pretty awkward. Imagine if your dad did that to you.
There was one where he
and
had
then
to catch
she
himself.
Does it to the kid.
Yeah, they do it to the immediately. That's how they like bring him into the clan.
Some traditions need to die, including the clan.
Like there was one he like went after he went wow. after Gina Gush. Come on, that's a part of our history. Don't erase it.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to lie.
What's the matter with you,
John? What are you gonna give it for awkward PDA?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty up there. And then there's also like, will you suck my tongue?
Yes. Well, yeah, like, that's very
old. Him massaging the other guy's face is really awkward and weird. This is pretty up there.
Yeah. Of all the movies we've seen with awkward PDA, this is up there.
This is up there. I'm going to give this one a 94.
94. I'm going to give it a 100. I don't know what else a movie needs to do to have awkward PDA. All right, now we're into the bonus round category. So in this categories, with these categories, your movie face-off will not be penalized. These are only purely bonus. So we're going to do this instead of 0 to 100 points. We're going to each individually score on 0 to 5%. And then we'll take the average to give it the bonus. So the first category, makeover montage. I mean, the surgery.
The surgery.
Yeah.
You're turned in. John Travolta is turned into Nicolas Cage in a montage.
Made over. Yep, in a montage.
That included
it's the definition.
90s state of the art computer graphics. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really leaned into it. They showed his belly getting smaller and his hairline changing.
I feel like we've been sold a bill of goods that has never come through. That is not the phrase, but you know what I'm saying. In terms of like computer displays, because I like in movies when the computer displays just tell you exactly what you need to know.
Yeah.
Whereas when we use computers, like, what am I meant to be looking at? They're overwhelmed with information.
Yeah. Is that really
90s era?
A machine
graphics.
Where you can just like splat some blood on a piece of glass and it just like, oh, this
analyzes
is
it.
This, yeah. Tells you the name
the
of
DNA.
The person and the blood type.
Right. Here's just the information you want in the way you want to receive it.
And here's a picture.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Future was so bright in 1997. Then Bush came.
Yep, that's the problem. So what are you going to give us for makeover montage?
0 to 5?
Yeah. 5. Yeah. You got to go
in the
five
title.
On this one. It's perfect.
It's in the title. and John, make sure to put the slash in the title with the episode description along with the exclamation point.
Okay. Wow, I'm glad these notes have made it to the episode.
Hey, we're an open book here on Two Old Queens.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. We're not like Pop Culture Happy Hour where you don't know what's going on. All right, next category. Angry phone hangups.
Did you say what you were giving it for makeover montage?
Oh, I gave it a 5.
Okay.
This is the only movie so far this and Funny Girl. It's tied with Funny Girl. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So angry phone hangups is our next category.
I think there were a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the 90s, so it's like they still were using phones.
Yeah, they had the flip phone.
There were definitely phones.
But wasn't there like the like, where is he? Or
are
like,
you asking me, or do you
this
know this
person?
For sure?
Like there were some moments of like the cops calling each other.
There were people
like,
on the phones,
he's not
but
there,
they usually cut away before we saw the hang up.
Right.
Because this movie does have a pretty quick pace.
It's true.
I didn't notice any angry phone hangups.
No, actually, the one that stood out actually was not angry. It was the one where he kills the FBI director, but. Kind of low key.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I would say 2, just because 2. They were 2%.
I get what you're saying. It feels like angry phone hangups are happening a lot. Like the editing is the angry phone hangup in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a sentence that's never been said before.
I think that you're welcome. So I'm going to give it a 1 for that.
A 1. I'm going to give it a 0 because these are all theoretical.
Okay.
All right, titular theme song.
Yikes.
Okay, there's no song,
no.
But they do say face off a lot. They say
they
the phrase a lot.
They do say face off a lot.
And Nicolas Cage does have a very sing-songy delivery at times.
Okay.
So
this doesn't have to be a literal, like, theme song by a band or an artist or something like that.
Well,
that's a 5.
That's a 5.
Okay.
There is the song that plays over the end credits by NXS called Don't Lose Your Head.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Which, that's about it, though.
Yeah, that.
Why couldn't they have just called it "Don't Take Your Face"?
Yeah.
Off?
Well, maybe they wanted to have legs beyond 97. Which,
oh, because everyone's singing "Don't Lose Your Head" by NXS.
Well, in an ideal world, you want to plan for success. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think there is a titular theme song. Personally, my score will reflect that. What you do with your score is up to you.
Yeah, only because I remembered that this category was coming, and I was like, wow, there is no. If you would have asked me after I'd seen this movie 100 times, I would have told you hands down, Evanescence was like the main. They had like 5 songs in this.
It's about 10 years early, I think, isn't it?
Is it? They.
It would have been fun if they did like, if it was like, you know, if they took Axl Rose and like Bret Michaels, like 2 different bands, and put them on the same song. You know what I mean? Like,
and had them face off as
like
well.
Like have a soundtrack of face offs like that.
Mm-hmm,
that's
sure.
A missed opportunity.
All duets. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what are you going to give it for
singing their face
titular
off
theme song?
So, so them saying face off like 5 times, that kind of counts.
That's up to you.
I'll say this. I'm going to give it a 1 for that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do 1 also.
A 1. I'm going to give it a 0. I did not see a titular theme song. All right. Next category. Fun fonts. How fun are the fonts in face off?
You know, I'm going to defend the font in this.
Who's attacking it?
Look, I know what you're angling for. They are pretty plain. But
I said a word. You don't see my notes.
I'm protective of my face off font.
Of these fonts.
Fair, fair.
They're basic impact.
But also font. There's all those aforementioned computer graphics.
Yeah.
I think those, like when they're going through the suspects and like you see like the green name and then what, and then the white letters, like I think all those graphics have pretty fun fonts. All the computer displays are pretty great.
And there's also when they look at the, what's his name, reads the other person's journal, and you see that very, very crisp, clean movie handwriting.
Joan Allen's handwriting, isn't that what
the
it
Joan
is?
The Joan Allen handwriting, yeah. Very.
I wrote down, I'll have you know, DeMarcus, that the black and the opening credits are like thematic to the movie, like the black and white.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Swapping. And there's also the computer, the bomb graphics where you see like the skull in the display.
Yeah, time going to, oh, right. And the topless girl dancing.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
It's kind of a font.
So what would you give this for fun fonts, DeMarcus?
I'm going to go 5.
5? You've never seen more fun fonts?
Never in my life.
You got to watch more movies.
I'm going to go 2. I think it's fun, but there's nothing that really like totally popped out at me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. Pretty fun, but I've seen more fun. All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos. I only noticed 1. Well,
okay,
there's 2 actually.
That?
The first one, well, there's one, Joe Bob Briggs, who like hosts a drive-in show. He plays one of the prison doctor. But the better one than that is seeing actual sex criminal Danny Mastin get his ass kicked for trying to commit sexual assault. So in a way, I'm like, yeah, he should be. I'm glad. I love watching him get beaten up for trying to like molest the daughter.
I wasn't
like,
sure if
he
that
really
was
him. It is.
Not disputing it, but when like today when I watched it, I was like, is that Danny Masterson?
Danny
I really
Masterson.
Had to figure like his mm-hmm. age, but
his
yeah,
typecast
that's awesome.
Is a creep.
Yeah,
and I was thrilled to see him get his ass kicked.
Well, I was also thrilled to see his get his ass kicked. He is in more than one scene, though.
Is he? What's the other scene he's in?
There's he's in more. He there's definitely because doesn't he join up with what's his name later?
No,
Danny Masterson, the boyfriend
he's,
of the daughter,
someone else
in the Trans Am in the driveway.
Right, I know that part, but isn't there another scene that he's in?
I don't think so.
I don't think. Yeah, yeah. I think
okay.
He just,
all right, then I rescind that. Okay, great.
Well, those are the only Joe Bob Briggs and who's I feel like I'm the only one who knows who that is. And
well, who is it? Tell
I
us.
Told you he's like a horror, like he's known for doing like drive-in theater on the Shudder. Do these words make sense?
Oh, okay.
Like he used to host like, you know, the Saturday night movie on USA, like the horror movie, and he plays like a hick character.
Does Thomas Jane count as a
no
as
absolutely
a cameo
not.
Okay
he's in it too
he's
much
in it too much. It's fun to see him play like a weird different kind of dirtbag, though.
Yeah.
We just had him 2 weeks ago in Scott Pilgrim. What an arc. So what would you give this for cheerworthy cameos, DeMarcus?
Got a 3.
3.
Yeah.
I'll do 3 as well.
3. I gave it a 4 because I literally did cheer when Danny Masterson said that was great.
Okay.
Okay, next category, pool trouble. Is there a pool in this movie?
I don't think so. There's water, but there's no
there
pool.
There is water, that's true. Usually where there's water, there's a pool, but not in this case.
Well, usually where there's a pool, there's water, but not always.
And just because there's a pool doesn't mean there's trouble.
That's true.
That's why you always walk. But I
have a buddy.
Can't make a case for anything else being pool trouble.
No.
I can't either, unfortunately.
What are you going to give it to, Marcus?
0.
0.
I will have to go 0 as well.
0. All of a sudden, we're sticklers. All right. Our next category, sassy best friend.
Oh, wow.
Well, what best Pollux, friend isn't? He's kind of sassy.
Yeah. And I feel like Diedrich is super sassy.
He totally is.
I mean, he's also. And then, again, Tito. He's like the, he's like the, what do you call it, like the hype man. Like, he sells everything. He's like, walks in, he's just like, God damn, what's that smell? It's like, yeah, he shit his pants. It's like, wow. Like, he really, like, you know, brought it.
He brought it.
Set up, set up that line for the shit his pants. But, yeah.
So what would you give this?
Too sassy, 5.
5?
5.
All right.
I don't feel like there's any really big, great, sassy best friend character. So I'm just, but there is sass in it. I'm going to go, I'll go 2.
2. I'm also going to go 2. Mostly for Margaret Cho, although she's no one's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category.
She's not really sassy. She's more sensible, but all right.
A bold lip. You can be sassy and sensible. I am all the time.
Sure.
As soon as you got Gina Gershone, you got a bold lip.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But that's about it. Maybe the daughter? I don't know.
I mean, you could argue that they're trading faces, so like that's pretty bold to exchange lips.
To have new lips.
Yeah.
That's bold. I guess this is these are somebody else's lips. They're not even mine. That's a bold lip, I guess, yeah.
That's bold. Brazen, even.
Audacious?
What an audacious lip you
Thank
have.
Thank you. It's Revlon. Maybe it's Maybelline. No, it's Revlon.
No. I was born with it.
DeMarcus, does this help you at all?
Not at all. Not at all. But yeah, I love Gina Gershon's lip. But Joan Iconic. Allen almost gets points taken away. She just has like a slit in her face.
That thin lip Talbot's wearing journal keeper.
Oh, man. So, I would say,
go ahead.
2.
A 2.
I'm giving it the Gershon 3.
A Gershon
Anytime
3.
Gina Gershon shows up,
you know
she's
what?
Getting
I like
a 3.
That. I'll give it a 3 as well. All right. Next category. Witches. How witchy is Face Off? Are there any witches? Well, we do see a very prominently portrait of Mary in the church.
That's true. Yeah.
The original witch.
Okay.
She had a baby out of nothing. That's pretty witchy.
That's, yeah. And then he calls his own daughter a ghoul.
That's it's not his daughter.
That's witch adjacent.
If you dress like Halloween, you'll attract ghouls. So we called her Halloween.
Oh, that
he
was
said she was dressing like her.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's so creepy when, even though you know it's not his father, because there's a scene where John Travolta is like, it's the villain now in the hero's body, ogling his daughter.
Ogling, yeah, that's creepy.
And then also just the fact that he has sex with the wife, like that's sexual assault as far as I know.
Yeah. That was, I think that was like one of the more recent, more difficult things to, because I felt like it, like in the 90s and 80s, especially, 70s, There's a very common, it's a common motivation right. for someone to like, it was just like an extra reason for him to want to kill this guy. And meanwhile,
right.
his wife is getting assaulted every night. But,
right.
The witch,
It's not a very witchy movie overall.
No.
It isn't, no.
Maybe one.
A one.
I'll do a 0.5.
For point five. Point 0.5%. I'm gonna give it a one for Mary. All right, next category on a scale of 0 to 5%. How Korean is it? We have Margaret Cho.
We got Margaret Cho.
And that's about it, I think.
And I think that's where the Korean starts and ends.
It is. I would love to like know what. Did she ever do like a book of diaries from the set of Face Off?
Like, I don't know.
What was her experience on Face Off? I would love to know. Margaret, if you're out
she
there.
Doesn't please let us know. Please
I don't know. Pod. It would be the only thing I talked about if I was Margaret Cho. What else do we want to know about?
Yes, that, you could do an impression of your mother.
The now
so
defunct.
Funny.
Yeah. That one season of that one show from. No, but. No,
American
I love
Girl.
Margaret Cho. Yeah.
So what are you going to give it for How Korean?
Four.
A four?
Yeah. It actually has a Korean person. Give it,
that's true.
That's true.
Much like there's the Gershon 3, I'm going to give this the Cho 3.
The Cho 3. I'm also going to give it a 3. All right, our next category, felt. How much felt is in Face Off? Well, there's a lot of...
Well, what's his name? Nick Cassavetes' jacket.
Crazy coat.
Felty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're just talking about the texture, not actual felt. What? Felt isn't a fabric, right?
It's felt just is a problem.
Felt is a process.
Oh, okay.
Did you say it's a problem?
Not for me. Don't know how you use it.
Felt is an issue, is what it is.
Felt is like a wool is a type of felt.
Oh, okay.
Classically, you know what I mean? Though technically not felt, you know, think of a Kermit, you know, like that material, mm-hmm. like a tight weave.
This category came from the Muppet Steak Manhattan. Oh. So that is the spirit of this category.
Okay, yeah, that's Max Felt.
Maxwell.
But the thing is, it's like the like for a movie that's so set in Los Angeles, I feel like they wear so much clothes. So
right,
it is mm-hmm. like that should that alone. I'm getting up to three. I feel. I mean, they're wearing layers in the daytime in LA.
They're wearing layers and those coats,
and dark colors.
Yeah,
too.
Dark colors.
Long coats are more likely to be wool. I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving it a three?
Three.
I'll give it a three as well.
Three.
For
I'm going to give it a two because I don't think it was that prominent. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well,
we didn't really have any major gay roles. So.
Nope.
I'm going to have to go zero.
You're
going to
go zero?
Yeah.
Zeros across the board. I, too, will give it a zero. Tying it with Little Shop of Horrors. All right, next category, themes of mothers. There's quite a few, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess a little
more
bit.
More so with Gina Gershon.
So much... Yes, that's true.
She uses a machine gun to save her son.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not too much between Joan Allen and her daughter. That's kind of like underdeveloped.
But like
yeah,
all her misery.
Like it's just not, none of the main characters have themselves have mother issues.
I mean,
oh,
they
no.
might.
You know what I mean? Like.
But.
Well, sure, but it's not the movie is not about them.
Right.
I'm sure Nicolas Cage has exhausted many a therapist, but in this movie, we don't.
You think Castor Troy went to therapy?
No, I mean Nicolas Cage, not the character. I mean Nicolas Cage himself.
I see.
I mean, Joan Allen, I mean, she lost a son, and she lost everything else that came along with that. I mean, she was like mm-hmm. living in a effing prison. With John Travolta that
with
entire,
metaphorical
those
magnetic
years.
Boots.
Yeah,
that's true.
There you go. It all comes full circle. So I think that like as a well, that's not her mother issue, but the.
So what are you gonna give it?
Two.
Two.
I'm gonna go 0.5. I just don't think there's really
yeah.
much there.
Point. I'm going to give it a 2. You got Gershon with a machine gun protecting her kid. And there's a whole thing, what will become of her child? She wants someone to take care of it. And then, all right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Face Off that puts you in your feels?
They do at one point play Over the Rainbow, somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh, yeah, during the shootout.
Sung by Olivia Newton-John.
That was her version? Oh, that's who that was? Oh, funny.
That was her version, her iconic. Some would say the definitive
No one
version.
Would ever say that. No one ever said that.
Olivia would.
Yeah. If we were in the same studio right now, I would throw a drink in your face, Mark.
Why? You're so beholden to Judy Garland, Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
And I love Olivia Newton-John.
Who's done more? Olivia's still with us.
Sure. Judy Garland inspired Stonewall.
Well, I'm going to have to take the Brother Is version then.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a, yeah. Always, anytime you walk into a Walmart or a Target, you're going to hear Is.
Yes.
I do.
We did not in Face Off, though.
I like the tricky Christian Sands in the one scene. It really took me back. It made me kind of nostalgic to the clubbing days. Okay. But still, 2.
2.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1.
1. Wow. Shots fired across Xanadu's bow. I'm going to give it a 2 because I like the use of it in the song with like the little boy. It like has this dream quality of Somewhere Over the Rainbow during a really bloody and fun action sequence. So I thought that was nice. Counterpuntal sound, as we call it. All right. Next category. Gossip. How gossipy is Face Off?
There is gossip because, like, John Travolta / Nicolas Cage goes into the prison to, like, figure out stuff and, like, what's this person? Who's this guy? Yeah.
And isn't every interrogation scene essentially gossip? Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's going on? Where did you put
what's
it?
411. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Who do you know? Who are you hanging out with?
What was she wearing?
We're playing bad gossip, good gossip.
Yeah. You take the gossip out of this movie, and there's no reason to swap faces.
That's true. Exactly.
The Walsh Institute is just, they just lose a contract. The big
They're just
face
helping out
contract.
Burn victims.
Yeah. Wow, gossip. 1.
1.
I'm going to go higher because I think there's also, I'm going to give it a 3.
3. I, too, am going to give it a 3. Give it an average of 2.3. That's more than Labyrinth. All right. Next, this is a category. It's all or nothing. There's no average. It either gets all the points or 0. So for a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality, I don't think we can do it.
I don't think it gets it either.
No.
It's a tough decision, but we really thought about it. All right, and then finally, -50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points, even though there is a boat sequence, but this is not Boat Trip the movie.
All right. So where do you what do you think?
Yeah, how do you think you did? We're at the end of the scoring system. Before we announce, how do you think you did?
Out of 54 movies now? 53? 55? I don't know. 55.
I'm wondering if it cracked the top 5. Really? I had a lot of confidence in it, but I know it got a lot of 90s, but there were a lot of zeros, I felt, too, so a lot of 15s. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I can tell you that out of a total possible 2,404.62 points, Face Off has scored 1,695.95 points, giving it a percentage of 70.53, making it the 8th gayest movie ever. Not
like
as
it.
Gay as Interview with the Vampire, but gayer than Armageddon.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know how to feel about that. Armageddon.
I mean,
you're gayer than Armageddon.
I might have to take some points off.
It's very close, but Face Off has 70.53. Armageddon has 70.39.
Wow.
And then Top Gun right behind it was 69.42. So these real
like
actiony
the
movies
are
right.
Yeah. Wow. This system is pretty spot on.
It's pretty airtight.
That's what I've been saying.
It only gets better and stronger every week.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, number 8. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations. That's great. You made the top.
Thank
10.
You so much for bringing it in. Is there, you're a delight. Very easy to book you, considering you're in the other room.
Walk into the next room.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, right now I am working on an animated series. Right now it's on YouTube, but you can find more information on it. It's called Social Media Media, and it is basically makes fun of things that are that people do on the internet, told like in a news format. But if you follow the Twitter at SMM Social Media One all together, then that's where you get the updates.
Who could forget that handle? Great. We will include it in the show description and when we tweet all this out. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were a pure delight.
So great.
Thanks.
And
we'll be right back. We're back.
Face off, huh?
Face off. That was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you liked it.
I did. I really do want to make it a musical. Is that crazy of me? I think it would be fun.
No, is it crazy that John Flynn wants to make a non-musical movie a musical? There's nothing less crazy I've ever heard.
You're welcome. But I think I actually think a lot of action movies would fit to that form well because they are heightened emotions. You know what I mean? Like, people don't just sing about, like,
yeah, that's what we talked about
paper,
with Scott Pilgrim, and he jumped down my throat.
But I don't think they did it well. I don't think they set it up as well in Scott Pilgrim.
Because you wanted an overture.
There needed something. It just took so long to get to the action sequences that
I get it. Okay. But once it was there, it was there.
Exactly. But I think if they had just set it up a little bit more, it would have been even better.
I see.
Fair. All right.
Yeah. Well, if you like that, I would say watch Hard Boiled. That's like another great John Woo movie.
Okay. Who's starring
Chow Yun Fat?
I've heard of him.
One of his Hong Kong movies. That's great. Mm-hmm. Like the last 45 minutes is like him trying to escape a hospital while holding a baby the entire time. It's great.
That's a great actor's exercise.
It really is. For that baby, too.
Learn how to listen and be still. It's an important skill.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Well, we got an email from one of our listeners. This is from Rachel. And Rachel, her email, the title is, "Sorry if I'm full of shit for sending this." Yeah, Rachel. Here we go. It says, "I know movies are chosen by guests, and I'm not famous enough for that yet. But every time I listen to the show, I think of how my favorite movie from my teen years would hold up against the Byzantine rating system. Gentlemen, I humbly submit the 2007 movie Stardust for your consideration. Michelle Pfeiffer plays a witch, and Robert De Niro plays a possibly problematic flying gay pirate. I love this film." And then she says, "Anyway, if you're ever working on a listener recommendation episode, this is my contribution. Thanks so much. The camp lists are the light of my life."
Wow.
Thank you, Rachel.
Stardust is delightful. It's based on a Neil Gaiman book. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It is on Shattered Glass. Whoo, doggy.
I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer's a witch.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Robert De Niro plays a flying
It's like
gay
a
pirate.
Fairy tale.
Yeah. Those do well.
Fairy tales do well.
Very gay.
It's a fun magic fantasy movie.
Maybe we will have someone bring that in, or maybe someone.
Well,
one day Rachel will be famous enough that we can get her on the pod.
Wait, was that Rachel Weisz who emailed? She's famous enough.
I don't know. I haven't really heard. I had to Google her, so I don't know if she's famous enough.
We have been talking, and we are going to have in a few weeks, I would say, at this point, it's probably safe to say.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we're calling tentatively Queen's Choice, where John and I will each pick two movies and bring back an older guest.
Some old guest who maybe didn't quite get what they were supposed to do, and so the movie they brought in didn't score so well.
Yes.
So
Queen's Choice, we're calling that.
Queen's Choice.
That is going to happen, John. What do you mean, who knows? How dare you? We have to commit.
You never know.
No, it's going to happen.
Okay, if you say so. I'm the one who does the editing and posting. Great.
And
so if you have any
good at that. Thank you, John.
Okay. Well, now that there's no one else here, you'll stop making fun of me. Never. So thank you so much, Rachel. If you guys want to email us either movie suggestions or what you don't like, do we get an opinion wrong, some missed fact, let us know. You can email us at 20queens, we spell it TWOOldQueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 2OldQueens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current rankings of the movie and the guest and the category that was added. Mm-hmm. So check that out. What's our movie next week? We think we know.
We think we know. Should
tentatively,
we say it?
It's our first John Waters.
It's a John Waters entry. Mm-hmm.
Delightful.
Do you want to say it?
Well, it's got cha-cha heels,
as far as
I know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It is... Female Trouble.
There you go. Female Trouble. Check it out. Is it streaming? I don't know. Buy
it. I'm pretty sure it is somewhere.
God, steal it.
Buy it. Support gay artists. Yeah.
John Waters would want you to shoplift it.
That's true.
If shops are open, these struggling businesses steal from them.
Shoplift it from Amazon if you somehow can.
Maybe if you work in the warehouse.
Yeah. Perfect.
Great. I'm sure they're not watching you constantly and checking your biorhythms and treating you to a hellscape.
So there's no cameras on you at all times.
No, nothing. Well, that's it for now. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.